Chapter 10. Tyre didn't talk to Mr. Mitchell or anyone in his class about what he had been doing, but each day after school, he retreated to his room and read. At first, he was bored with the book and its weird, old-fashioned words, but then he started to wonder what was going to happen to the kids stranded on the island. Some were as young as Tavon, not much older than his niece. Tyre even stayed up late one night reading. The story grew bloodier and more violent. He shuddered when Piggy, the kid Tasha said reminded her of Harold, is killed by his classmates.
"That ain't right," he whispered in the dark.
But as he read, he knew in some ways it was just like the cafeteria during his fight, like the neighborhood when Jupiter jumped him, like some of his own treatment of Harold and Daryl.
"No wonder Mr. Mitchell assigned it," Tyre figured.
At one point, Tyre had to put the book down because it bothered him so much. It was a scene where a group of boys slaughter a pig. The writer describes the spears sinking into its body, the blood spurting on the boys' hands, all of them chanting as the dying animal squeals. Some of the boys seemed to have violence in their hearts. Others were so scared that they joined in, even though they knew it was wrong.
"Cowards and animals," Tyre thought. "Just like I said." Maybe that's how most people were, but Tyre knew he didn't want to be like that, no matter what he had done in the past or what classmates like Jamie thought about him.
Tyre even wrote about it on the final test for the book 2 weeks later. When Mr. Mitchell reviewed the exam, he read aloud some of Tyre's answer. People stared as if he was from another planet, as if they couldn't believe Tyre Hobbs knew how to read or write or think.
"Who needs any of y'all?"
Tyre thought, trying to hold on to what his brother said, though he felt almost invisible at Blueford and at home.
"Get your education. Do it for me."
But on Friday at lunch a week later, he could see that something was wrong with Lark. She didn't smile or speak when she sat next to him. Instead, she grunted, her eyes locked in another thick vampire book as if the cover could somehow shield her from the real world. She didn't even touch her lunch.
"Girl, what's your problem? You ain't said a word to me yet. You okay?" he asked.
Even her friends seemed concerned, eyeing her from their lunch table more than usual.
"I just don't feel like talking about it, okay?"
she said, flipping a page and not bothering to look at him.
"Now you sound like me," Tyre mumbled. "But you always make me talk."
Lark sighed and lowered the book from her face. Her eyes were puffy and bloodshot, as if she had been crying. Her sweatshirt was wrinkled, and cat fur was sprinkled across it as if it hadn't been washed in days.
"Please, can you just drop it?"
He had never seen her so serious. The scar above her lip was stretched thin and taut, as if it were about to snap.
"But you can tell Jamie and not me,"
Tyre said, unable to hide his frustration.
She shrugged, avoiding his gaze.
"You know what? Fine, don't tell me. I don't even want to know."
He stood up from the table with his tray. It pained him to say the words, but she was shutting him out as if it didn't matter that he cared about her, though he had never admitted it.
"Wait," she said, putting her book down. "Where are you going?"
"Well, since you got nothing to say to me, what am I going to say to you?"
he huffed, angry at himself for snapping at her. He started to walk away.
"Tyre, please don't go. Don't leave me here alone."
He turned back. She seemed broken somehow. He knew her friends were watching, but they didn't matter. What struck him was the sadness in her voice. There was no way he would walk away from her now.
"What is it? You can talk to me."
"It's my brother, Kyle," she said.
"Your brother?
He's only in 7th grade. But these older boys in our neighborhood are always trying to get him to hang out. I know they're no good. I keep trying to tell him, but he don't want to listen to me. My mom's always working nights, and my dad, just forget him. I'm the only one who knows," she said, her eyes starting to glaze.
"Knows what? They're selling, okay?
Everyone on our street's scared, especially since the older one just got out of jail. I fought with Kyle for hours last night, but he just ignores me. Says I don't understand. I found a gun in his room, Tyre. What am I supposed to do? He's my little brother.
Her description snagged in Tyree's mind like skin on a rusty nail. His stomach began to sink. He knew the answer to his question before he asked it.
Where do you live?
The corner of 43rd Street, Lark said.
Why are you asking me that?
Tyree lowered his head and cursed. That was Londell's neighborhood. The roar of the busy cafeteria suddenly seemed choked and muffled. The crowd all around him became dim and transparent. In that instant, Bluford itself seemed to fall away. In its place were the details of Lark's description. They came together in Tyree's mind like some horrible puzzle. Before she could say any more, Tyree knew exactly who was after Lark's brother. The same crew that robbed him twice. The same ones Bones had warned him about. The one who left a scar on his brother's face.
One of them drive a gold Nissan? He asked, just to be sure.
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Boom! Tyree pounded his fist on the lunch table. The impact cracked like a gunshot in the cafeteria. Heads turned in alarm.
Tyree, why'd you do that? What's wrong?
I know the guy your brother's messing with,
Tyree replied grimly.
How?
It's a long story, he grumbled, the danger of Kyle's situation sinking in with each passing second.
I'm scared, Tyree,
Lark admitted. She stared down at her book as if she was searching for a way out.
I know they're dangerous. Thing is, I know Kyle's scared too. That's the worst part. I can see it in his eyes. He's still just a kid, you know? It shouldn't be like this.
Tyree cursed under his breath. He couldn't stand the pain and worry in Lark's voice, and the thought that it was all happening again. Another family being pulled apart. Another gun ready to ruin a life. Another kid out of control, spinning toward jail, or worse. Tyree knew it all too well. He had been there and was still fighting it every day. The wounds were in his bones, the scars on his face and in his heart.
We're an endangered species, just like Warren said, he thought.
He hated how true it was and how weak and powerless he felt. And yet something began to gnaw at him, a spark of an idea that flared into a flame deep in his chest, something he never would have considered before his experience in the alley with Darryl. He turned and grabbed Lark's hand.
I'll talk to Kyle, he said suddenly. Tomorrow night, after work.
For real? You do that?
Lark asked. Her face lit up as if he had suddenly given her a lifeline, but then it clouded over just as quickly.
Wait, you gotta be careful. You don't want to get in the middle of this.
Relax, girl, he said, hiding his own worries.
He knew what it was like to cross Londell, and so did Warren, but he couldn't tell Lark that, or she would never let him go.
It's just a little talk, that's all. Ain't no big thing. But Tyree,
it's all right, he said, feeling his broken hand tingle nervously in his cast. I got this.
Tyree arrived almost an hour early at Fatburger on Saturday morning, hoping maybe he could leave before it got dark, but Dominic refused.
Sorry, T, but I need you until 6 o'clock. It's Saturday, remember?
Tyree nodded grimly. He had spent most of last night staring at the ceiling, wondering what he could say to Kyle. What worried him most was Londell finding out what he was doing. If what he planned to do worked, Tyree knew that Londell would find out tonight. Then things would probably get ugly.
It's payday,
Selma announced as Tyree tossed a fresh batch of French fries into a pool of hot bubbling grease, the splatters dotting his cast.
What you got planned for this weekend?
Nothing, he lied.
He knew where his money was going. He had been waiting for this first paycheck since he started 2 weeks ago. Beyond that, Tyree had no idea. Londell and Jupiter stalked his thoughts. He knew they would be in his future again, soon.
I'ma see that new Moonlight movie, Selma added as if she didn't care whether anyone listened. It's gonna be the bomb.
It's playing tonight?
He asked, remembering how Lark wanted to see it.
Duh, where you been? That's like what everybody's talking about, she said.
Tyree shrugged. He didn't care about the stupid movie, and yet something about it pained him.
He couldn't remember the last time he had gone to the movies. That was something others did. People with friends. Classmates who laughed in school and whose families were whole. He hadn't felt that way in years. Maybe never.
You know Londell's going to come for you if you do this, Tyree thought.
The truth haunted him all day, whispered to him between customers, mocked him as the hours melted away.
Yo, you all right? You look sick or something, said Dominic at one point, breaking his thoughts.
I'm fine, Tyree answered, trying to hide the worry that grew by the second. Be better once I get paid.
I heard that, Selma said with a smile.
At 6 o'clock, Tyree yanked off his visor and waited as Dominic slowly cashed out everyone's paychecks. He received an envelope with $97.19. He shoved the money deep into his pocket, feeling his stomach sink as he glanced out the drive-through window. The sun was already sinking low in the sky. He had to go, now.